Welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Arca, run With the Will, and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and I'm actually awake this time.
How are you doing, Dev?
I set multiple alarms.
You set multiple alarms, and you made sure that I had a pass-through on your phone if it was silent to actually call you if there was an issue.
Yes. Yes, because Discord doesn't do that on my phone. I just have text messages and the actual ringtone.
Yeah, I suppose before we start, is there anything from last time you would like to go over really quickly, Dev, that you missed?
I'm sad that we did not get to see Wolvermon in a bathing suit. That would have been pretty funny.
The only thing funny was that they went to the effort to not, like, they half did the pool episode, and then they immediately pivoted to remembering that Makoto's a kid, and they actually have to do that once in a while.
Yeah, but they could have had, like, more fun pool time, like pranks or beating the ever-living hell out of each other with pool noodles.
And then we continue the interlude arc with the taste of guilt. I will say, I think they made a mistake naming the arcs so specifically, because it feels like a lot of people are mentally a bit tuned out for these, even though they're not really any different episode-wise. It's just you don't have people who work for the five stars coming at them.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we don't have to pay too much attention to these episodes. They're just filler PTSD.
The name kind of screws stuff up there, because the first episode is a follow-up to the prior arc, and this episode's a follow-up to one of the more wanted-to-know-about one-offs. So far, there actually has been nothing that might be declared as an actual, like, you know, side story. It's just not in the middle of screwing around with the main plot that we know of. A lot of it feels like stuff that's going to swing back later, to be honest.
It feels a little bit like, hey, we're tying up some loose ends before we dive back into whatever shenanigans are going to occur.
So this time we start with Kyo and Kugurumon finding Haromi. And it's funny, does it feel like at first they don't want us to realize it's him?
Not really. I mean, the Hawaiian shirt was kind of a big giveaway.
But I mean, like, they're not showing us his face. Also, would he actually still be wearing a Hawaiian shirt at this point? It's fun that he's still wearing it.
I mean, he's a hobo, so yeah, I mean, not like he has any other options.
I feel like it would have been ripped off him, and he would have been given, you know, generic whatever for the Colosseum.
Well, they were just going to cold hard his ass anyway, so...
No. I mean before that.
Oh, yeah.
Then
it's like, no, you can die in this ugly Hawaiian shirt.
And then one of the baby Digimon, a familiar one, clearly thinks of something, and he goes rushing off, and the Kenoki gang gives chase. I still like that they're kind of recurring now at this point, to be honest.
Yeah, they're kind of fun.
And the baby attacks Haromi. They're very silly. And then he shoves the Sapotama in him, and back to Commandramon.
I was wondering how they were going to handle Digimon that did not have a mouth for Sapotamas to get crammed into.
It just sort of...
That works?
Yeah, that worked perfectly well, honestly. Commandramon's happy to see him again.
Squish it in.
And in runs Yoshi with Elizamon. Elizamon is jealous seeing Haromi with another Digimon. They're arguing.
Welcome home, cheater.
And then Haromi calls him darling, which is probably the easiest way to yank me out of the episode, because we had an entire series of Digimon Lum.
Yeah, and I think that Digimon Lum did this a bit better.
It did, because they really designed her to be Lum. So instead, we get it where it's not quite the Lum personality, but she says it because that's the obvious choice. And we'll get into the actress later, which makes it a bit even odder than they did, darling. And then Yoshi attacks Haromi to get his vintage shirt back.
Which he's wearing an exact copy of. So how many of this specific shirt does he have?
And then Gekkoumon is watching what I took as Bishonen Iron Chef.
Yeah.
And the food choices did not really look good to me.
One looked absolutely rancid. The other one was just kind of like, okay, this doesn't look great, but I mean, it's understandable.
And then Tomro tries to apologize. It's actually funny. Tomro tries to apologize for the punch, even though he was given the context that Haromi set him up to do that.
And it was adorable, and Allie flinched at the fake punch.
And then we
Oh, yeah, we're even.
I will say, I like Elizamon where she starts just kicking Comanchemon's gun like it's just in the way.
It's like, get that away from me.
And then he decides to explain how he got a new partner. We find out he was in the Colosseum. He lost to Raito. He had been forced to partner with Elizamon, and she then stopped him from being cold-hearted after he lost. So, weirdly, does it feel like him just being in the Colosseum was not as menacing as that ending felt like?
No, I assume that he'd gotten, like, tossed into a coffin or something, but...
Yeah, it's... They set it up as just something so menacing was going to happen to him that, like, oh, he just was there when they did the mini-arc thing, made me kind of go, oh, that seemed like a bit of a letdown.
I thought they were going to torture and interrogate him.
I wasn't sure what they're going to do, but it felt like very menacing. So when it was just like, oh, it's the thing they tossed Tomro into and we had 10 seconds to think about. And then, as they argue, we get the kind of explanation that Elizamon saved his life. He has to repay that debt. She wants to avenge her original owner who was killed. We also get Reyna popping and wanting the money he owes them. He's like, tactics found my hidden cash, so I got nothing. And then Gekkoman
shows up. It would be like that.
Then Gekkoman shows up and decides they'll have a cooking showdown. And to Reyna's credit, he just wants to eat.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Sometimes I also want to eat.
So then it's weird. Like, when you see the preview, we thought the cook-off was going to be like a full episode type thing.
I expected Digimon, who so far did not need to eat food, attempting to cook something and just fucking it all up. Yeah. And then Haromi having to, you know, choke down this horrifying monstrosity that's probably, you know, censored out.
Then they jump to everything set up and Comanchemon show up with his food and it's deep fried bread. We get a flashback to him eating that with Comanchemon, mentioning how much he liked it. He takes a bite, pretty good. And they comment Comanchemon worked hard to make it. Then Elizamon shows up with a big pot.
You did something you remembered I liked.
A few of the Digimon smell something good. It's a recipe she made with her old owner, pink curry, colored with beets to look like her, and topped with pink pepper. And they stop to point out the secret ingredient is love. Gekkoman tries to eat some. I believe that's where that screen cap everyone's been liking is, where Gekkoman's pulled back and we get the Looney Tunes eyes.
Yes. Yes,
I think,
it was.
I think
it
it's
was
from right there. Then Haromi looks very unhappy as he stares at it. Like he's almost going to freak out. And then we stop for the eye catch. Then we flash back to a snowy scene. Them sneaking up to a cabin, knocked out guards. So this was weird. Did it almost look like the guards had been knocked out before they got there? See, I was at first...
A little of column A, a little of column B. I just thought they sniped them from a distance.
Yeah, at first I wasn't sure if that's what they meant or not.
I assumed they were dead.
Yeah. Then inside the cabin, someone's making pink curry topped with pink pepper. Guy calls, tells his kid to call their mom for dinner. And Haromi rushes in and stabs him. And then back to Haromi.
And still, the kids don't come out. I mean,
yeah, that,
dad just got shanked. There's a whole tussle, and
yeah, that,
no one seems to notice.
They sort of forget the actual setup they do. So they jump back to the present. Haromi really doesn't look good. He digs in. And, man, perfect time for the day to go overcast, huh?
Yeah.
That a little too on the nose. Haromi picks the winner. He picks Elizamon. Elizamon is in shock. Comanchemon looks very, very sad.
Like, no, why did you pick that homewrecker instead of me?
Then Elizamon is trying to figure out attacks as he Comanchemon trying to figure out what's going on. Then he flashes back, and as he's getting ready to leave, he sees a Digimon making the same pose Elizamon's making, and he figures out what's going on. Haromi and Elizamon gone, Gekkoman eating. Gekkoman knows Comanchemon's hiding something. and they all go running off after them, after a short explanation.
Like, Haruomi's doing something fucking stupid again.
They note the rain makes it hard to track, but something catches Gekkoman's attention. Haruomi and Elizamon are resting in a random abandoned mansion.
A lot of those just lying around.
Yeah, we've seen a number of abandoned buildings in the show. I actually think a cabin would have made sense considering like the woods are all around there. Did it just feel, it just felt a bit too large for me. Not a huge thing, just a bit odd. Elizamon's asleep and Haruomi looks downtrodden and pulls out a knife. And she wakes up to find him standing over her, jabs it into the wood, saying, you know, he's tried to kill her, then reveals himself as the killer for her owner. And I have to say, like, the wood stab wasn't very convincing. He was a much better actor last time we saw him.
Yeah, he was kind of projecting a little hard this time.
Yeah, and to Commandermon's credit, he's not even there, and he's already figured out what's going on.
I mean, this obviously isn't the first time he's done this.
And then Harumi's taunting Elizamon to bait her for revenge. She flashes back to Haruomi promising to help her. Then she attacks. Haruomi smells right before he gets hit, but Commandermon knocks her away. The one thing I will say, Commandermon feels like he has much more to do here than in the last episode.
Yeah, last time he just kind of like had PTSD and hid.
Which weirdly, they sort of forgot like the PTSD in him not like wanting to be violent anymore. They note Gekkoman was able to smell the pepper, which he called Hopper, I believe.
Yes.
Gekkoman stops Haruomi from trying to bait Elizamon, but that doesn't really work. And then Commandermon dives in front of him and gets stabbed. She doesn't understand what Commandermon's done. Commandermon thinks Haruomi's overacting as he cries because he's just a Digimon after all. Cougarmon, him stopping Elizamon from leaving actually feels like a really good use of Cougarmon in an episode that he doesn't do much in.
He's big and fluffy and we love him.
And then Commandermon gives his little speech where he tells Elizamon he should stay with Haruomi, but he's not going to leave either. And this is where the episode actually kind of trips a bit. The revenge is over because she stabbed him. Okay? Tomuro grabs him, points out...
Yeah, it was kind of like a little sudden.
Yeah, Tomuro grabs him, points out why Commandermon's doing it. You know, sacrificing himself won't make anyone happy. I don't know if I... And then the weird bit where, like, Haruomi is dead. Okay? Again, they really don't sell the idea well. Elizamon cries, leaps at him, saying it's okay. Then they show him with both Sapotama. Glowing Dawn is a place for him to go. I liked that the instant they showed the pink curry bread shop, it was very clear it was the shopping street.
Yes. That was a good place to put him. My initial thought before seeing the episode was, oh, does... he play bodyguard at Narinso because I don't trust the Mushroom Boys to fight their way out of the paper
bag. I wondered about that, but it felt like that was too closed in for those characters. And I like that we see Pandamon and the old man. Elizamon and Commandermon argue about the curry bread recipe, and Haruomi is stressed out. I like getting follow-up with Haruomi again. I still really don't think they... It feels like him being in the Colosseum is just too easy, honestly, for me.
Yeah, but to bring him back, it was the most convenient and quick way.
Yeah, I agree there. I do like how multiple characters point out they're repeating multiple beats from the last episode that they had him in. And Tomuro notices it. Commandermon notices it. Elizamon was a high point. Having her play Lum feels odd to me, honestly, because they did that so intensely with Jellymon.
Being obsessive cute, I think if we didn't have Jellymon, it would feel like, oh, okay, yeah, this is cute, but
and then
I think just because it's been so close that it's a little...
I feel like the biggest negative, though, is do you feel like they didn't really deal with Elizamon's pain?
They could have spent a little bit more her spending so much time with Haruomi that she's like, oh, okay, yeah, well.
Yeah, they kind of killed. They did a few bits of wordplay. And then, like you were saying, they killed her owner. But also, they don't comment on the wife or the kids, which apparently she knew them because it's not like she was hiding or anything.
Yeah, it's like he loved his wife and his family, and he was like, even though he was a criminal, you know,
yeah,
he was still a good person.
Yeah, they don't fully commit to the bit is basically the issue. So this time we only have one guest, which is Naomi Azora plays Elizamon. She's been a few Digimon before, most notably she was Lopmon in Survive. She was Yggdrasil in Time Stranger. And she had a small role in Cyber Sleuth. Now, are you ready for some of her? She has a lot of credits, so I only did a handful. Chikatita in Don to Don. Sada Nichia in Gabriel Dropout. Susanna in Genshinken. Cherry in Idolmaster. Tamamo in Uma Musume. Mayori in World Trigger. And probably she's best known as Uzaki in Uzaki-chan Wants to Hang Out. There's multiple roles there where it feels like they should have tweaked the scripting a bit to, like, riff on that rather than going with Lemmigan.
Yeah. Maybe if they would keep her around for a longer time rather than just, like, one episode, they might have put more effort into it. But maybe. I guess it was just like, oh, yeah, let's just...
It is also a decent
jump
short...
Jump off this something we already had.
It all is also a decent shortcut since most people are familiar with Lum either directly or through parody. Then
it's like, ah, this bitch is crazy.
Then next time we get Wandering
and might
Love,
stab someone,
where we get to see Mummymon act like a crazy fan and apparently ship people. I'm sure people are going to handle this episode very well and not act like crazies at all. They're already acting like
crazy. I want
like
to see Mummymon writing terrible fan fiction.
See, Mummymon's going to be interesting in this one because it's another case where, like, we had such a prominent Mummymon in the last show. I would have almost preferred a different Digimon. I'm curious to see, like, how... I'm very curious to see how he's acted and everything after getting such a prominent one in the last show.
I don't think this one is a doctor.
Probably not. Hey, he could be the Doctor of Love.
That's fucking terrible.
I know, but I still went for it. Then
get out.
We got some line art from episode 25 of Chief Animation Supervisor Corrections. This time it's all Tomuro and Makoto. Line animation of the flashback scene explaining Starmon. That is such a good one. I really recommend everyone watch that one. It's really good.
It was very enjoyable to see, like, the little details.
A Q&A scene with Christina V, which confused everyone based on something she said. I assume
that
she...
That I did not get a chance to watch.
At one point, they asked, like, what's her favorite line that she did? Or I don't remember what the exact wording was. And she says, Pristimon Digivolve 2, and people went, eh, did she say that? I think she means Reyna's dialogue in the evolution sequence. Not the because I don't think they ever had Reyna say it. Someone can please correct me if I'm wrong on that. I don't think that happened, though.
I have not watched enough of the dub to know if they move things around.
Then a preview of Animedia where they're doing an interview with CG director Yusuke Osone about the CG work in Digimon Beat Break and various reference materials included.
Nifty.
Then just a couple days left to vote for Digimon Beat Break at the Crunchyroll Anime Awards 2026. I still have an issue with both Digimon and Gundam in that category.
I just pretend the whole thing does not exist.
I think that's how most people feel about the Crunchyroll Awards, minus when there's a show in that they want voted for. I just, like, here's the thing. For best original anime, meaning not based or adapted on something, it's based on a 25-plus-year-old existing franchise. That in itself in the case of Gundam, it actually starts off with making it a what-if to an existing Gundam story. So it's just very strange. English dub for Beat Break episode 16 through 20 went up on Crunchyroll last night. Toei seemed to have forgot about this, so didn't mention it until after it had been up. In fact, I noticed that it was up right before the new episode went up, so I go to post. Then a bit after posting about it, someone mentioned, oh yeah, Toei finally posted about it a bit after it went up. It's like, oh, weird, I didn't see it. So I go back and look. they posted the exact same minute on Twitter that I did. And
if it was after, it would have been like, oh shit, the Digimon fan site reminded us that we, you know, should probably post about
this. So on with the will, I posted at 7:39 p.m. And by the time I'm posting a Twitter, it's 7:40. And their timestamp also shows at 7:40.
That's hilarious.
So that's 16 through 20. I've not had time to catch up on the dub. And then, moving on from Beat Break, two episodes of Terry Magnificent Lab. First is they look back at all the stuff from Digimon Con, and they have the co-host there to talk with Terrymon Assistant.
Cute.
And then they do a collaboration with the Digimon Card Game YouTube for a match, and also previewing new Digimon, which we went over elsewhere and we'll go over again. Digimon Up, its gacha campaign thing ended after they hit all the benchmarks. I think they actually hit all the benchmarks before it started.
That is funny. It's like, be sure to like tune in and like and share our campaign. No, never mind. It's done.
Yeah. I mean, this was basically a week, and I think they actually hit the official number before it went up, but yeah. Then, cards. So first up, Onmon playing an online game against the other Atmon. I love this one.
Oh, that's adorable. I love Dokomon just losing his shit in the one and back of the panel.
Well, especially since I believe he's one of the game Atmon, isn't he? Or am I forgetting? I think he was a game one.
I'm not sure. Was he like an exercise one?
I thought it was a game one. I could be wrong, though. Then Logimon, we get in a evolution type sequence with the energy silhouettes of Onmon and Gatchmon.
That looks cool.
Bootmon gets a really awesome card. But this is also like a very, very standard like hero punch pose. I still love it, though. Then Bearmon, which is the younger Bearmon from Time Stranger, looking very sad.
He's got depression.
Then we get Grizzmon and Grappleomon. You know what's funny? I like both of these, but 99% of the time when I see Grappleomon art now, I just think of that one social media art. Yeah, we're like, oh, cool, they use Grappleomon, but also they made it as boring as possible. Like, this is a cool image, but I see it, and I just flash back to that one. Marsmon gets really good. And a number of people noticed this. So we get Marsmon doing a nice action punch, and it's neat that it's against Kalosmon. And then the parallel alt art is comic style art of him also doing a punch. I feel like when they did all the parallel cards at the end, the extra distance made stuff feel unique and a bit special. And now that they're showing them to us at the same time, it feels a bit blander.
Yeah, especially because, like, by comparison, the regular art ends up being a bit more dynamic.
Yeah. Especially in a case with this where I think the somewhat cartoony style fits him really well. Then we get Hawkmon and Aquilomon. I don't have much to say about these. I just really like the coloring style. Like, the lighting and everything.
It looks like colored pencils.
Yeah, it looks really good. Then we get the same with Gerudomon. So, I really like the Gerudomon one for one reason. Unless I'm misremembering it, I feel like this is the exact, like, generic pose that you will see Gerudomon floating around in the tree area of Time Stranger. So, like, when you're either going to run into them or avoid them, it just is making this pose, like, floating up and down off the trees.
Yep, it's just idling.
Pegasmon gets very... Everyone's commenting about his hair. Did people not notice his hair before?
I think it's because he's usually just, like, off to one side.
Oh, okay, that would make sense. But
the way his face is angled, it's kind of, like, poofing everywhere, like a Bishonen.
Yeah, this is where he's waiting for you in Central Town, I believe, where he takes you to a different area. And then we get Tokomon sleeping with a Nairon. This is just a fun one. I love the... Tokomon on his side.
This is adorable, and I know, also I wish that were me.
And then the greatest Digimon, Shikuamon, floating there, doing something.
Looking out into the great blue yonder.
Then we get Cougarmon and Rasamon. So am I wrong? I don't know. Like, I don't know how I feel about the art with Cougarmon, because it does it not feel fluffy enough to you?
I think it's just because compared to Koki's artwork from the booster set, this is not as fluffy. Like, yes, he's very furry. His fluff is rendered gloriously, but he's not as soft and cuddly.
Okay, that makes sense. Then we get Rasamon doing a slash. I don't think this is a specific attack. I read through his attacks, and I'm like, not just any. I really like the way the energy's lighting up him, though.
Very cool purple lights and everything.
Then we get Frymon and Lyomon. I love how it's the same area, and I like the little Popomons.
So fucking cute.
I have to be honest, to me, Frymon is always a weird design. Even for Digimon.
Well, because you have like, oh, okay, it's a head. Oh, it has a tail attached to it. Okay, wait, it has a fucking lizard neck thing too. Yeah. What's going on?
Then we get Habakirimon slash Habakiri in a dual card. It's weird because
it looks like something out of Thundercats.
It's weird because we don't have much information about this Digimon yet. So, like, getting new stuff just kind of makes you go, oh, yeah, I'd like to know more first. I like the design.
Thundercats. Oh.
A lot of people have noted it feels very different than the first art we saw of it from Koki.
Yeah. This one's, like, more muscly and heroic, and the other one was like, oh, I want to cuddle the kitty. It also had, like, more like an ethereal, floaty look to it.
Then we get Feromon and Flaremon. I don't know if I like these, to be honest. So Feromon is kind of like laying down, being like a guard dog. But then, like, if you look at Flaremon, the head, the jaw feels a bit too, like, cut into the head for me. Like, almost more reptilian.
Okay, I see what you mean. It's like the top of his jaw kind of, like, goes up behind his eyeballs.
Yeah, it's a bit weird for me. I like when we get different art. This one just feels a bit off to me. And then, Atreitesmon slash Eclipse Impact dual card, which was shown on the Terramon. A lot of interesting things on this Digimon.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see where it will show up and how, because the suggestion is definitely that it's Gekkomon. But also, some of the visuals do not quite match, I would say. So I'm very curious to see.
It's like, under what circumstances will this asshole show up?
Yeah, it's Gekkomon wearing a Galoose Gamamon
coat. Weird Halloween Grim Reaper costume?
It's a Galoose Gamamon costume. I'm curious. Yeah, I think we're all curious to see more of this character. Then, producer Murata is leaving the Digimon card game after 4 years.
No.
So, prior to the card game, he also had worked on the Vital Bracelet and Pendulum Z. And weirdly, so a lot of people, so you get the two sides when something like this happens, the people going, oh no, does that mean the card game's going to end? Or the people who think that he, or the people who think that he makes every decision and blames him for everything, like how many booster sets there are. Or like the price changing. And it's like, he definitely makes a lot of decisions, but like, if they didn't pump out stuff, there would not be a card game. That is like what Bandai wants.
That's how card games work.
Yeah.
They want your money.
Yeah. So we don't know if he's still, because like I mentioned, he was from Digimon stuff before rather than more directly with the card game section. He was only the second full-time producer for the card game. He took over from Goto, who helped launch the game. Goto had worked on the Battle Spirits card game, including the Digimon collaboration sets, and he left to help launch the One Piece card game. Card Battle previewed dual cards and then had Murata come on to say goodbye, and he actually noted that at the time of recording, he was actually already gone.
Ah. So well, nice of him, like, pop in and
yeah.
Say goodbye.
He introduced producer Rui, who's taken over from him, who has worked under him for a while, and they note that if you go check one or two of the old videos, you would actually see him introducing stuff. And they also announced the launch event special cards would continue. They did the ultimate forms associated with various O2 Digimon. Now it's going to be Savers.
Nice.
They only showed us the Agumon Shine Greymon this time. Although it feels like the silhouettes are less blurred out, making it a bit more obvious. Even if these ones were pretty obvious, to be honest.
You can just tell by, like, the colors that which one it is which.
Yeah, like last time, the fourth one confused a few people on what it may be. This time, I feel like you can tell it's Rosemon, Mirage, and then Rave.
Yep.
Then, moving on from cards, a few product updates. The Beatbreak Chibi. Am I wrong, or have we been seeing these in silhouettes and promo images for like half a year?
Yeah, I was going to say at least 6 months.
Yeah, it was like November. I think we saw silhouettes. In December, I think we got full images. So these are going to be in Crane Game at Namco branded locations on the 17th. I'm not sure if they're exclusive or not. They will also be on the Namco online Crane Game service in Japan. Then showing up in about a day and a half in Crane Games is a little Agumon figure on a stand with a light up acrylic Digivice behind him.
Like this setup.
It's very neat, although 12 centimeters for the size of the figure is very small when you consider that includes the stand.
Oh, that includes the stand.
So we're talking under 5 inches. So that figure is maybe 2? I need to see a photo of it with something for comparison. Because that's pretty small. And then a few Namco Prize, Molly Fantasy are giving away some of the Beatbreak plushies as promos.
Nice.
It feels like there'll be a wave 2 of these for Makoto and Reyna, doesn't it?
There fucking better be. I want a Tropmon.
The only issue I have with Tropmon, does it feel like Tropmon's proportions are going to be almost too perfect for this?
He will be precious, but also I can now imagine him, like, the actual keychain part hanging from his feet, so he hangs upside down like a bat.
Oh, that'd be fun if they did that. They're not.
I would love that.
I feel like they wouldn't, but they should.
If not, I will mod it. I have thread and needles. I can make it happen.
Yeah, and then Premium Bandai US opened their pre-orders for the Digimon Pendulum Color Godzilla, and we also have affiliate links for Hobby Genkai, who getting them also. If I remember right, Dev, you said you thought the Digimon color was better, right?
Yes.
I think I
like the more contrast.
Yeah, I think looking at the photos more, I still agree with you on that. And then new poll, which is favorite of the big Death Stars. This is to celebrate that by adding Apollomon Whispered, all 7 of Death Stars have been added. I feel like Apollomon Whispered has an advantage because he was just added. Out of these,
and also he's a popular Digimon. Like Apollomon is a popular Digimon in general.
It's weird. A few of these are popular, but I feel like it's between Whispered and Olegmon.
Yeah, and I feel like Splashmon's going to be upper middle.
I can't decide if I expect Neo Vomdemon to be high or low in this group. Like it,
I feel mid.
It feels like. See, I keep thinking high, and then I keep going, I don't know, because, like, it's not one of the better-known Vamdemons.
He's still a Vamdemon, so yeah, that's true. Like Gravimon and...
I feel like it's Whispered's battle to lose, it feels like, to me. Yeah. I feel like the bottom one, Zamelmon?
Yeah, I think that's it, Zamielmon, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're annoying and your design kind of sucks.
Yeah, I'm also not sure I expect Gravimon to rank that highly. But we will see. Because here's the thing.
Effective as a character, but as a design, just kind of there.
And then, from the weekend batch, first up, to celebrate the 24th anniversary of Frontier, the Toei Animation Museum showed off some of their Frontier stuff, including all the Otodama. I feel the photo of the Digimon ones lined up. Duskmon, where they clearly tried to make the design look menacing.
He just looks slightly grumpy.
Yeah. Ayumi Miyazaki posted photos of the first time he was at Taipei in 8 years. He noted he'd come back soon. He got an expression pedal for live performances so that he could use it, and he also bought a small mic for streaming. He noted that at one point he had it sitting on his table and started rolling around. Then, a few posts regarding Murata leaving the card game. Chiba posted a photo of the Agumon statue outside of Bandai headquarters. Say goodbye. So this isn't a new photo. I think this is from around when he first met Murata. Because for one, that Sentai show has been off the air for years. I think it was Boom Boomger was the name. When did this air? 2024, 2025. So he definitely had met him before then, so I don't know. Unless they have a Sentai display there for some reason, someone who's been there more recently would have to comment. But I don't know.
Yep, no idea.
Or maybe it's just a photo he decided to use, I guess. You know, and he noticed how he mentioned, you know, how much he did for the card game, basically.
And it looks like Agumon's waving goodbye.
You know, I wonder if he picked that photo because Agumon's in the A slot, right by the headquarter window. Because they always rotate the statues there. Then Maguro posted, noting, you know, his final greeting was in the archive of the World Championship. The new producer there, and, you know, thank you to Murata, and so forth. Then for Art of Beat Break 26, the character designer posted, that's the bomber guy, right?
Yes.
making him look very serious. And then Arc 115 drew Harumi, since he got to work on Six Cuts. He asked that the art not be reposted, though, so it's tweet embedded on the site. But he asked that the image itself not be used anywhere. And then moving on to questions. You guys in chat can start throwing yours up while we do the ones for 7 time. Someone said, what sort of hour count and Digimon count would make you happy for the Time Stranger expansion DLC?
69.
See, I feel like guessing before we know anything feels like it's setting up to be disappointed. Cause like,
yeah, so I'm just going to have my standards exceptionally low.
Because, like, is it giant and it's going to be $40 expansion where it's basically a new game? Or is it going to be something reasonable, you know, $20? Yeah, for the moment.
Yeah, is it going to be, like, Hacker's Memory or...
Like, I guess if it's, to be reasonable, if it's 10 hours long, $20 and has 30 Digimon, I'd be okay with that if it has other fixes. And like we know we're getting the Switch version in July and there's going to be some patches and other stuff. Let's see if we get some stuff there. It's just kind of hard to gauge. Because, like, yeah, there's just not enough that we know. Let's see, Tyranifer said, what Digimon merchandise do you have that's not from Japan or America? I'm trying to think. What do I... See, in my head, I'm trying to think, like, did I have one of the German or Spanish DVDs at one point? I don't remember.
Like, I'm not sure if I have any... Oh, does it do the Pop Mart figures count? Because those are technically...
weren't those China? Yeah, I would say those count.
Yeah, other than that, the only thing I can think of is, like fan-made merch.
Yeah. Actually... I don't think the Pop Mart ones, I don't think are from China first. I think those were in the U.S. first.
Well, the text in the box is in Chinese.
Oh, so. maybe they showed up in China first. We just missed that. Yeah. Close enough, I think. Let's
see. Only thing I can think of other than like keychains and stuff from artists that apparently live in Canada.
Then. Someone asked, what do we think are the best salad dressings and toppings?
I just want to eat all the goddamn croutons. Yeah. Sadly, I cannot have salad that much at all. It tries to murder me.
Yeah, for dressing, I would say either Caesar or balsamic vinaigrette. And croutons are good. And I also like the really fake dry bakos, where they're kind of like mini croutons.
Ooh. I used to put those, when I was really little, I used to put them on my scrambled eggs.
Yeah, I think they always worked well. Then let's see. Someone asks... second.
Perusing the chat.
Fantasy World asks, do we think all Ramon will get a brand new adult in Perfect, since they show up in the ED as one of the partners? It's one of those weird things. It's one of those weird things where, like, it's not like they show up all that much, so you can give them new, or you could give them whoever you want. Like,
I'm hoping for something at least less used. Like, we've gotten enough Kiwimons. I love Kiwimon, but something else.
Yeah, not Kiwimon and not Togemon. How about that?
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. See, I guess the question is how much are they going to show up that it'd be worth giving them something new? So, yeah, we'll see, because in theory, we don't have much longer to wait to find out. Like, we may see them do relevant stuff in 2 weeks.
I can hope.
Then someone asked, do you think a transforming Digimon figure toy line would work anymore? It's not that it wouldn't work. It's that thinking about how to make it work, I don't know. Because you don't have the numbers to do basic, more affordable ones. But also, like, the fancy ones, like, we saw, like, they would all
sell. The price is up there.
Yeah, but, like, we would see them all sell initially. Like, you remember when people were pre-ordering, say, Alphamon, and then pre-orders would run out. It's like, okay, that's great. And then once they got past the pre-order numbers, you know, that were pre-allocated, then we'd see Alphamon sitting in stores for a year or two. When they clearly
After they tried to actually put together the fucking figure.
Yeah, part of the issue, I also think, like, Digivolving Spirits, some of them were a pain in the ass to deal with, honestly.
Oh, yes. I remember
the race?
Where they tried to transform, yes.
The Alphamon race.
And they all failed.
Neither of them finished, and one of them was one of the figure developers. It was one of the figure developers, and then it was, I can't remember his name, the V-Jump guy.
Yabino?
No, the V-Jump guy with the hat.
Oh, Victory Uchida?
Yes. One of them was Victory Uchida, but he wasn't wearing his hat at the event, so I forgot it was him. But yeah. I feel like if they tried to go for something like in the $50, $60 range that was kind of like more akin to a nice but not super nice transformer, they were just going a bit too fancy. And I also wonder if they went a bit too eclectic too quick, like when we're like, oh, it looks like they're gonna do a Ryutamon that turns into the sword. It's like, oh, okay, it's neat that they're making the prototype, but like, that's in retrospect, that's what you do when the line is like matured a bit. And also,
yeah, we didn't get that.
And also, does it really feel like that would be a premium Bandai exclusive that you also have to buy a new Alphamon to get?
Yeah, but I would have done it.
Oh, I think
like the little Ryutamon next to my Doraemon.
It was going to be just the final form turning into the sword. I don't think it was going to be Ryutamon at all. I think I think it was just going to be Oryumon, and he turned into the sword.
Mind then.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but I'm thinking about the prototype that we saw. That I think that's what it was. I am surprised they did not do the Dukemon and Beelzebubmon ones, since those looked nearly done.
Yeah, especially because they had the base, like they've done in previous years, a Beelzebubmon transformer.
Well, but remember, that wasn't based off the original one, though. Like, that was an actual new mold and everything. That's the one that was kind of trippy, like, even about, say, Agumon, where it's based on the original toy, but they didn't actually reuse anything.
Yeah, but it's a starting off point.
Yeah. Then someone said, is there a specific genre of anime you think is good for a Digimon fan to get into? They haven't watched a ton,
but
they'd like to start with more stuff that sort of is like Digimon. Yeah, the cheat answers are definitely Magical Girls and Mecha.
And sometimes a combination of both.
Yes. In fact, Based on how you go to those, it's some of the best examples of both. Like, for example, if you go to Symphogear, which is basically pseudo-magical girls but who fight and sing, one of the artists who works on Symphogear stuff is Asmaria. And then, if you go to Mecha, one of the more popular Mecha shows is Gundam Seed. And as we've mentioned before, Asmaria does the SD comics. It is also very trippy anytime to see Asmaria in another franchise, and he's not drawing pointy stuff.
It's like, where are their spikes? They're naked. Yeah. They're defenseless.
Yeah, for Gundam Seed, he draws the SD character comics. At Symphogear, I think it's some promo art stuff. So some of that, the armor will have pointy. Last chance for questions from chat. But yeah, magical girl in Mecha is the best choice, I would say. Then someone said, not based on what makes sense money-wise, but based on how the show's ended, which Digimon TV series makes the most sense to get a follow-up? So, okay, so Adventure got a follow-up, so that's out. O2, I think you can, the ending makes sense to do a follow-up on the kids. Tamers is weird because I feel like the ending of Tamers works better if you don't touch it.
But I can also see further down the line, yeah. You know, like that same scenario.
Yeah, Frontier, I feel like, does not end story-wise in a place where it feels like there's more to come.
That's like, yeah, you save the world, go home.
Savers,
unless it's a slice of life.
Savers, I could say coin flip, because it doesn't feel like it's really meant to do more, but also you could argue kind of fits in that vein.
You can definitely continue it, especially with Masaru punching the shit out of them.
Cross Wars did continue. Hunters felt kind of endy to me, but I could see the argument. Atmon, weirdly, I would say Atmon, no. It feels like it's more if Eugen comes back rather than an actual, like, more adventure. I don't know. What do you think about Atmon? That one feels a bit different.
I still haven't finished Atmon, so I cannot speak on that particular one.
2020, I'd say the ending does feel kind of teeing up for if they want to do more. Ghost Game.
Yes. I would love to see a 02 version of 2020, just because I would want to see slightly new character designs and outfits.
And then Ghost Game, I feel like Ghost Game ends on a, this isn't meant to be followed up on, but it's very easy to go ahead and follow up on and go, oh, the math's wrong, he's showing up in a month. Because what'd they say, 2,000 years?
I don't even fucking know. That ending just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they said 2,000 years, you could easily do a, oh, it's showing up in 2 days, the math, a decimal place is wrong. And Beat Break.
Sorry, we went 2,000 minutes.
Yeah. That looks like that's about it for questions from chat. Dev, what Wikimon article do you like people to read?
Zamielmon, because he's just going to eat absolute shit in the poll, so he might as well take his wins while he can.
Okay, that one makes sense. Let's see. We're here Sunday instead of our normal Monday because I'm not available tomorrow. The week after, we should be back to the normal Monday. Let's see. I can be found with the will as always. Thank you. Oh, and I guess next time we'll probably have some sort of... Do you think we'll get an actual like teaser for the new arc? Or do you think since they did the promo poster and showed the ED early, that's what they plan to use for the teaser?
I feel like they'll give us like some more character profiles like they did.
Oh, and cast. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. My brain like skipped over that we don't have the cast because at this point we've seen the characters in the ED twice. So it like skipped over that we didn't have them yet. So we will catch you guys all next week. Thank you everyone for showing up and catch you later. Bye.
Bye.